show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, host of the show for more than 6 years and also founder of Yes to Life, the UK's integrative cancer care charity. The Yes to Life show is all about integrative cancer care, which is a way of describing the most inclusive possible approach to care, bringing in not only the conventional methods used in mainstream healthcare, but also a broad range of complementary and lifestyle approaches to address the considerable needs of those with cancer in body, mind, and spirit. My guest today is someone who's spent a lifetime supporting people with cancer in a variety of ways, and who by now is highly skilled and has a deep understanding of the needs of those with cancer. I'm speaking to Nadia Bryden over the internet at her recently opened rural retreat in South Wales. Hi Nadia, delighted to welcome you to the Yes Life Show.
Robin, lovely to see you. Thank you very much for inviting me today.
So it has been a bit of a journey getting to this episode, but one with a great outcome. And in terms of journeys, I think it's more of a beginning than an ending. I think we must have spoken about your plans for a retreat centre in Wales way back before the pandemic, if you can remember back then. Anyway, I can testify from personal experience that it's happening, it's up and running, and it's fabulous. So would you start out by spelling out your vision for your Welsh haven? What did you want to create and why?
Well, it's something I've always wanted to do ever since I really started on this journey about 35 years ago. And I never really sort of ever expected to manifest it, but somehow or another I have. Well, first of all, I'm in the Brecon Beacons in Wales, in the most idyllic setting one can imagine. It's a 250-year-old drover's inn, and it's got 7 bedrooms and 5 bathrooms, 3 acres. It's a small holding, and one of my criteria for having a retreat was actually to have spring water, my own natural spring water, because I feel that healthy water is absolutely essential to healing, and that's what it has in bucket loads. And so I feel very, very blessed and fortunate. It's quite isolated, but people don't need to have a car, because actually, believe it or not, there is a train station 4 miles away, so it's almost walking distance, not quite. but I am, so, you know, I can pick people up from the station, which is really convenient, but if people got a car, it's even better. So really, one of my passions is nutrition, but also exercise. And being on the side of a mountain, it's absolutely amazing for natural cardiovascular exercise, walking up and down the mountain. I'm actually on the site of an Iron Age fort and an Iron Age settlement. And so it's got a lot of history behind it. It's also on the edge of the last glacier. And so we've got all these wonderful moraine rocks and bracken and moss and every kind of animal and birds and badgers and foxes and all sorts of, you know, wonderful birds of prey and owls. So you're really getting back to nature here. And I think one of the things that a lot of us, especially living in the city, and I lived in London up until, when was it, 3.5 years ago when I bought this. And so I really know what it's like. In fact, as I'm talking to you, you're never going to believe it, I've got a wren coming to say hello at my window.
Lovely.
Sorry, I've just really wonderful. But anyway, so the thing is, when you're immersed in nature, it really, really calms the mind, calms the heart. And I remember really when I was 21, before I even came on this journey of sort of health and healing, I was, you know, like a lot of young people, very stressed, and I was actually having a nervous breakdown. And a friend of mine who lived in Wiltshire said, come and stay, come and get some nature and wildlife. And the amazing thing was that, you know, she just had a beautiful cottage in the middle of nowhere in Wiltshire, and I spent 3 weeks with her, and it actually completely rejuvenated it, and after 3 weeks I felt completely recovered. Amazing. And I always remember that, and the interesting thing is that she had the most beautiful kind of honey stone cottage. I mean, magical. And actually I've sort of almost manifested the same thing here. And right. One of the things that she had outside her door was ladies' mantle in abundance. And you had to hop around the ladies' mantle to get to the front door. And believe it or not, that's what I've got here. So it's you know, total manifestation. And it is really rather wonderful. So what I'm offering here is something close to my own heart, which is detoxification. Detoxification, really, mind, body, and spirit, actually. But in, you know, and it's all about learning. You know, I want people to actually learn how to heal themselves. You know, I can't do it. It's, you know, we only can heal ourselves, but if we get the support that we need, and also the information. So what I'm really trying to offer is the information, how to heal ourselves. You know, what's out there, what's available, you know, and who is available. And because when I think we're healing, we don't just need one person. We need, you know, a group supporting us. It's about community. So, you know, it's about putting people in touch with other people, like yourself, as an example, like Yes to Life. You know, and I'm always networking. And I think this is absolutely essential for, you know, for all of us, is to network as much as possible to find, you know, out there who can support us. So when somebody comes here, you know, what I'm offering is just healthy eating and a staycation, if that's what people want, or juice fasting, or something else which is also close to my heart, which is the Hippocrates Transformational Program, which I don't know if you know about. There's a, you know, Anne Wigmore in the 1950s started a, you know, the wheatgrass and detoxification with raw food. And I discovered the Hippocrates Health Institute in Florida in West Palm Beach about 18, 20 years ago. And, you know, what I saw there was absolutely amazing when I went was, I mean, it's a program which is quite full on. And the thing is, I think all healing programs, it's not for a particular disease. We can't heal a disease. We can heal ourselves, you know, as I said, our mind, body, and spirit. And it is about trying to live our best life, trying to live our healthiest life. And, you know, it's about healing the body, healing the mind, and healing the soul. And whatever dis-ease that we may be manifesting at that particular time, in many ways is kind of secondary, because what the dis-ease has done is pointed us to the fact that we need to heal our lives, that we need to heal our environment, we need to connect with the environment again, connect with ourselves, connect with others. And I think that, you know, any symptom that we have in the body, whatever that is, whether it's a headache, whether it's even a broken leg, if it's cancer, if it's Parkinson's, if it's whatever it is the body speaking to us. And now, you know, the body doesn't speak in a language, it speaks in symptoms. And I think we need to connect with that symptom, in the sense that not focus on that, but use that as a tool to help us to heal our lives. So as we get better, that symptom starts to disappear. So really, when somebody comes here, I can have probably four people at any one time, in terms of, you know, sort of individualized. I mean, I can take groups if people want to come as a group, and I can also offer if people want to come in small groups to have, you know, to bring their own groups. So I think a group of four is really a sort of good number, not to be too overcrowded. But what I've got here is very much, you know, it's not like a spa. You know, you're not coming here to have a swimming pool, right, or, you know, you know, lots of different sort of machines and things like that in a gym. That's not what people come here for. People come here basically to connect back to nature. You know, I've got a wonderful barn. At the moment, it's not renovated, but we can still use it for yoga. And then I've got a really lovely, quite sizable sitting room with a lovely log fire or a wood burner, a lovely dining room that can seat sort of 10 people around it. And everything is natural. So I've got wooden floorboards. It's a stone building. Everything is organic. So the food is organic. So it's as much anti-synthetic as possible. So, and you know, all around is, you know, our trees, as I said, and the most amazing walks that one can have. And I've got also my own river as well, which is really rather wonderful. So it's, yeah, you know, it's a sort of bubbling river. In the summer, I had something called Pop-Up Herbal 2022. And so it was hugely successful because having, you know, I bought this, as I said, 3.5 years ago. And the first year I still stayed in London and I was renovating it. And I would come up once every 3 weeks to sort of make sure that the builders were doing the, you know, the right thing. And then we got lockdown. And so all my work dried up in London, because our one-to-one work. Now, I actually work at the College of Naturopathic Medicine, and I have done as a lecturer for about on and off for 20 years. And I've in the past been teaching on the herbal medicine pathway, and now I'm actually teaching on the natural chef pathway. So I go to London about 3 times a month, teaching at the College of Naturopathic Medicine, which is in Percy Circus, but it's got colleges all around the country and in Ireland, and actually abroad as well. But you can also do courses online. And it's the most amazing college, in my view, teaching practitioners to be real practitioners and you know, in the naturopathic way, using nature and fantastic education. But so what happened was, when we had lockdown, unfortunately, we couldn't do one-to-one, but of course we could start doing Zoom, and that was amazing. And I worked at the amazing Breast Cancer Haven for 20 years. And of course, we couldn't do one-to-ones. Very sadly, it did not survive the lockdown. And it did, in fact, fold. So sadly, you know, that is not something I've gone back to. But I'm now working at the College of Naturopathic Medicine. But my grounding, you know, with working with people with cancer goes back many, many years, to when I got my own cancer when I was 33. And in that healing journey was what actually opened up the whole healing world for me. And I trained in Western herbal medicine, Chinese herbal medicine, acupuncture, homeopathy, reflexology, aromatherapy, you know, naturopathy, you name it, and I trained in it. But it's really when I actually went to the Hippocrates Health Institute and learned to become a natural health educator that really that the journey kind of blossomed for me, in the sense that it brought everything together. And that's what I very much offer here. So I can offer herbal medicine, nutrition, acupuncture, Chinese herbal medicine, reflexology. And I've also got visiting practitioners as well who come. We've got the most amazing amount of fabulous practitioners here in Wales who come and, you know, treat people. So it's not just me. So there's very much a team of people. And I'm very, you know, very much into things like meditation as well, to sort of help to calm the mind. So I hope I've given you a bit of an overview of what
you certainly have. Majorly sold it to us. So look, one of the themes running through a lot of what you said is nature itself. And I mean, when I visited you a few weeks back, I was warmly welcomed with a thoroughly foraged green smoothie, some nettle soup, chicken of the woods at your lovely place. By the way, maybe you better spell the name of your place and give us a good pronunciation as well.
Yes, it's called Cwmdi, which is spelled C for Charlie, W for whiskey, M for mother, D for dog, and U for Ulster. Yeah. So that's it's pronounced Cwmdi, and
Cwmdi, right,
CWM in Welsh means Cwm. It is actually a Cwm, which is a little valley, and right. D, which is DU but pronounced DDI, actually is black. And so I'm the Black Cwm, which basically is in the Black Mountains. So I'm a little valley in the Black Mountains. So it's Cwmdi. So if my website is www.cwmdi, which is CWMDU-retreat.com. So it is quite easy. It may initially sound quite complicated, but I thought I would keep that name. And and it's very Welsh, and yes, and so I've kept the name rather than giving some fancy name.
Okay, but that's good. Good you spelled it for us.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer, life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, as I said, your enthusiasm for nature's bounty is completely tangible as soon as you come through the door. Is this something you've always had, or did it develop over time?
Well, I was brought up in the countryside, and I was brought up with no TV. We didn't have central heating. It was in a village, but it was, you know, in Kent, which is the Garden of England, but it was very, you know, I spent a lot of time outside. I love nature, and I think it's something that most of us, not all of us, are, you know, quite drawn to, because you know, green is the color of the heart chakra. The chakra are seven energy centers in the body, and we've got, and the heart chakra is green, and the heart chakra means about peace and harmony. The whole essence of the heart chakra is peace and harmony, and you know, we're enveloped in green, which is really, you know, very, very calming, because it is the color of the heart chakra. And also anything green contains magnesium, because chlorophyll, which is the green colouring of plants, is a porphyrin ring, and in the centre of the porphyrin ring is magnesium, and magnesium is actually nature's tranquilizer. It's nature's Valium. So magnesium in our diet is really essential, and the more green food that we can have, the more magnesium, and the more it opens our heart, and the more it calms our mind and relaxes our muscles. Now, by just being amongst green helps to open your heart. And I think that my connection to the nature and the countryside was really sort of developed when I was a child. But I think if one is brought up in a city, you know, that we have lots of green parks and things like that. But from my own perspective, I think nature was very, very much involved in my whole childhood, because I did really love nature. But I think that, you know, nature is very calming, It's very grounding. One of the most important things is to be able to walk barefoot on the grass, to connect with the earth, to connect with nature. So, yes, and I mean, I love animals, and I have two cats here who are really adorable. And so and animals, I think, are very calming as well. So that's how really my connection to nature, I suppose, evolved initially.
Okay, and obviously this event, when you were in your, I think you said your early 20s, when you were having a bit of a breakdown, when nature, you felt restored, it was obviously pretty formative, I would say, in your, you know, your view of our relationship to nature and its importance. Was there anything else that happened along the way which was like that, which was a seminal moment that made you realise and built up this idea of you building your own retreat centre?
I think it kind of built slowly. You know, as I said, when I was 33, I was diagnosed with cancer. It was actually cervical cancer. And I really was not very happy in my life. I was living in London. I was very stressed. I had a very poor diet. I drank a lot of alcohol. I smoked cigarettes. I mean, I lived a very different life to the life that I lead now. But I came to a period in my life when, you know, the diagnosis was a huge shock. Although having said that, most members of my family had either died of cancer or had cancer. My mother had cancer. Three of my grandparents died of cancer. All my aunts and uncles died of cancer. Wow. A cousin had cancer. So it was very much the, if you like, the family dis-ease. And as a result, I kind of grew up with that shadow over my head, thinking, well, one day, you know, I'll get it. But you never really think that you will. And certainly not when you're 33. And so that, I think it was a real wake up call for me. And I felt very much that, you know, if my body had created it, surely my body could uncreate it.
Okay.
And so I went on a journey, if you like, of trying to uncreate my cancer, to find the healing within myself that would uncreate it. And actually I did something called the Gerson therapy, which was started by Max Gerson in the 1950s. He was a very famous doctor who realized that we needed to get back to nature, get back to the laws of nature, because if we can really follow the laws of nature, nature will help to heal us. And so the Gerson therapy was all about, you know, having lots of green juices, detoxifying the body from the environmental toxins that our body accumulates over time. Because, you know, if we think of our body like a car, you know, we take our car to be serviced once a year and to have the oil changed and everything looked over and everything cleaned, and we wash our car, you know, maybe once every few weeks. And so I think we sometimes look after a car better than we look after a body. I think we take it for granted that our body will just go on forever until it basically breaks down. But I think that, you know, what we need to do when that happens, whatever our dis-ease is to do some kind of cleansing on a physical level, look at what emotional stuff we need to heal, and connect on a spiritual nature, whether it's hugging trees or having a particular, you know, spiritual belief or whatever. I think it's really important that we start to cleanse on those three levels, on the body, mind and spirit. And when we do that, we are connecting very much with nature. But going back to the Max Gerson, so the Gerson therapy very much taught me how to connect much more with nature using, you know, organic juices, eating organic food. And that was the beginning really of my really understanding how important nature is to get our to connect back and to really understand the laws of nature. You look around us, how does nature do something? And if something is synthetic, it's really usually quite harmful. So so that was the beginning of it. And then as I got stronger and stronger and stronger, one of the things I did was I went to Scotland and I lived in the middle of nowhere in a croft in Scotland for 7 months. Basically, you know, taking daily exercise, writing a journal, you know, meditating, praying, you know, because I think prayer is very important. Whoever we pray to in terms of, you know, the God of our understanding. And I think meditation, so prayer is asking for help. And meditation is listening to the answer. So it's quietening our mind and listening to ourselves. You know, who are we? And I think for me, the diagnosis was for cancer, you know, was like a real wake-up call in who am I? Why am I here? You know, what and who is God? What is nature? You know, who are my friends? Who is my you know, support group. And so it kind of built from that. And, you know, years and years later, I learned about Dr. Kelly Turner, who runs Radical Remission. And what she did a PhD in looking at how people healed from cancer and why that might have been. So she looked at 100 cases of people who had either tried conventional treatment, it hadn't worked, and so they had gone their own way, or people who'd rejected conventional treatment. Now, I am not saying in any shape or form that people should in any way reject conventional treatment, but I think what we need to do is, alongside conventional treatment, start to ask these questions. You know, am I happy in my life? You know, am I happy with the friends I associate with? Am I happy in my environment? And I think that cancer for all of us, or any disease, very often a chronic disease, is a wake-up call into, you know, looking at our lives. So alongside conventional treatment, I think it's really important to, you know, to rest and de-stress and connect back with who we are. But going back to Dr. Kelly Turner, she looked at 100 cases, and she found that she wanted to see, was there a common denominator? What had they all done? And she discovered that people had done many things, but there were 9 things that people had specifically done. And I was interested when I read her PhD. She's written a wonderful book called Radical Remission. She's also written another book called Radical Hope. And on that note, I think it's, I mean, you know, for me, when I was diagnosed with cancer, my emotion, my state of mind was despair. Mm. And I needed hope. I really needed some kind of hope that I could recover, that there was a future. Because I think that, you know, cancer, unfortunately, has the, you know, we think of cancer as kind of something that we might die with. And I think that there's a lot of fear around cancer, but actually, if one can turn that around and start to support one's body is in the best way possible by doing as much, you know, when we focus on something positive, it grows. If we focus on something negative, it's not the best way to go. So if we focus on what can we do to be as healthy as possible, looking at what we can do. So what Kelly Turner discovered was that it's about, you know, taking control of our health and believing that we actually have some part to play in helping ourselves. So alongside conventional treatment, you know, we can take exercise. And that was one of the things that, you know, is really important is taking exercise, fresh air. It's not so much about going to the gym and, you know, getting a six pack. It's actually about, you know, cardiovascular exercise and helping us, you know, to really get some fresh air, because oxygen is absolutely vital to health and to life. And to go outside and to get exercising, even if it's just walking, you know, in nature, we're getting more oxygen in our lungs. And so changing our diet, you know, looking at a more plant-based diet, is not that we don't eat meat at all, but we look at, you know, how much more fruit and vegetables we can eat in our diet, the more we can eat. Because at the end of the day, you know, our nutrition is vital for repair of the body, for repair of the cells, to repair of the nervous system. So, you know, a very high micronutrient diet is going to be fruit and vegetables, and as much as possible in their raw state. Because, you know, when we cook we lose a lot of micronutrients. And so it is really quite important to eat as much as possible a plant-based diet. And also learning to believe in ourselves, believing, you know, developing, if you like, our intuition. You know, animals are very intuitive. They naturally know what they need for themselves, especially when they're healing. They gravitate towards particular herbs that they need, or they curl up and they rest. So I think following our intuition, not listening so much to other people, what other people feel that we should need, but listening to what our own needs are is really important. And also using herbs and supplements, you know, from nature, because herbs are there. I have been there for millennia for our healing. We've only really been using pharmaceutical medicine in the last couple of hundred years. And so I think it's going back to looking at simple herbs that can really help us. I mean, even something as simple as chamomile tea or fresh mint tea, you know, there are so many things. And, you know, we can buy herb teas very, very easily now. But you know, one can also go and see a herbalist and get more therapeutic herbs, you know, for helping to support the body in its healing.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Also, I think that, you know, Kelly Turner was talking about repressed emotions, allowing ourselves to feel emotions and to connect with our feelings is so important. And I think that was one of the things that I particularly found in my own journey was, you know, when we're writing a journey, connecting with our feelings, connecting with what is blocking us from moving forward. Seeing also a counsellor is really important, because a problem shared is a problem halved. And I think that, you know, even, you know, speaking to our friends and our support community and sharing how we're feeling, because other people are often feeling very similar feelings, but we don't know that until we start to express, you know, who we are. And increasing positive emotions and looking at, you know, glass half full rather than half empty. And creating a social system of support. And that kind of goes back as well to, I don't know if you've heard about the blue zones. And the blue zones is areas in the world where there is greater longevity, greater health in certain communities. And really and truly, Kelly Turner's research that she researched actually marries up with the blue zones, the people who live in these areas in the world who have longevity and who have better health than the majority of the people who live in the world. You know, it is these same things, going back to nature, you know, listening to ourselves, having a community, you know, eating a more plant-based diet, and also having a spiritual connection to, you know, what created us, you know, but to nature, hugging trees, if that is our spiritual connection, is it nature? But is it, you know, a particular religion? Is it a God of our understanding? It doesn't really matter what it is, but connecting with something if you like, greater than ourselves, something, you know, that is beyond us. But also, I think it's really important, and again, this is one of Kelly's nine things, is having a reason for living, whether it's our children, whether it's our profession, whether it's our community, whether it's a passion, but, you know, having a life purpose. And I think that, you know, sometimes, you know, I never had a life purpose. I didn't know what my life purpose was, actually, until I got cancer. And then I, you know, in my healing, in my journey of healing, I really kind of realized that my life purpose was about helping support people on their journey to healing. And so, but, you know, what, so one of the things, if we're, you know, looking at a life purpose, so we don't have to have a life purpose, but start to look for it, look for, you know, reading books, listening to podcasts, listening to TED Talks, talking to friends, and starting to look at, you know, what were we interested in our childhood? You know, what did we gravitate towards in our childhood? Going back to, you know, our childhood, looking at the child that we were, you know, what we're excited about. So I think that those are all clues in looking at what our, if you like, life purpose is, or what we, you know, really like to contribute to life.
I was very interesting, because you're describing cancer, your personal experience of cancer, as being a turning point in your life. And of course, we've been speaking an awful lot about this lately, centered around our conference. Of course, it has that potential to make people reevaluate their whole life. That can have very positive results ongoingly, both for their health and for the way they live, of course, and for what they do. So, that is an incredible thing. Obviously, it sent you on a very intense journey. I mean, you've the phenomenal amount of training in different disciplines you've done. Did it all start from when you got cancer? Did you do any before then?
I knew nothing but nothing,
right?
Because about I mean, my first introduction, I mean, literally, when I was diagnosed, I went to Waterstones, and I walked into the bookshop, and this book jumped out at me, and it was called Healing for You. And I thought, what is healing? You know, and I opened the book, and I felt motivated to buy it. So I bought it, and within two chapters, I thought, I have to go and see this man. And so I booked an appointment, and that was the beginning of my journey, right? was actually going to see a healer. And then it kind of, you know, opened up from there, really. My parents were very much, you know, if you're ill, you have a painkiller or an aspirin, you know, or you know, whatever. So it was very much about going to the doctor and them sorting you out.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, in my ancestry, I very much got healers and doctors. My great grandfather actually was the physician to the Tsarina, and was the presiding physician at the birth of the last Tsar, Tsar Nicholas. Mm. So, and I actually have his ring.
Wow.
On my finger.
That's a bit of heritage.
So I kind of, and he very much apparently, you know, used nature and herbs as much as, you know, pharmaceutical medicine. But also, one of my ancestors in the 17th century wrote a book on herbal medicine, so was a herbalist. Mm. So somewhere along in my heritage, yeah, it's obviously
there in the genes, obviously, yeah.
It's there in the genes, yeah.
So look, you've been speaking about cancer, which is great. That's what we talk about here. And you, over the years, you've supported lots of people with cancer. So inevitably, with your amazing background in healing modalities, you must have gained a pretty clear picture of the needs of cancer patients. That's from your own experience as well. Plenty of ideas about ways of meeting those needs. So would you like to share some of your thinking about this and relate that maybe to your centre there and how you're aiming to supply those needs through your centre?
First of all, I think it's important to say that I don't heal cancer. I help support people on their journey. The fact that I've had cancer in the past, I think is, and you know, very much gone on that healing journey myself, I think helps people to realize that you know, I'm with them on the journey. And, you know, I once listened to an interview by a very famous woman who helped support children. She was a psychotherapist and she was in her 90s. And she was extremely successful. And the interviewer said to her, and how do you work with your clients, being the children? And she said, I get in the box with them and we open the lid together. And I think that really kind of sums up how I work with people. You know, I join them on their journey and, you know, and help support them in that. But basically, you know, helping to open their eyes to you know, to looking at diet and by coming here, they eat the food, they experience that, you know, the green smoothies, the green juices, the organic food, the exercise. But you see, working as I did at Breast Cancer Haven for 20 years was one of the most fulfilling things that I've ever done in my life. It was really very much supporting people with acupuncture, going through the side effects of their chemotherapy, their radiotherapy, their surgery, helping them to heal from that. And getting back into their life again. So, you know, and as a herbalist and as a practitioner, you know, I've done that on a one-to-one basis. And I had for 10 years a multidisciplinary clinic down in Devon, supporting people, you know, with cancer, because I think when you've had cancer, people who got cancer gravitate towards you. And so the majority of my patients or clients, and actually at the Haven we call them visitors, have always been people with cancer. And so supporting people with all of the things that I've really mentioned is where possible group support, acupuncture as needed, herbal medicine as needed, detoxification as needed, you know, exercise. And, you know, helping to put people on a path and helping to support people once they're back home again, you know, on the phone or on Zoom, but also helping to support people with particular practitioners who maybe have a specialization in, you know, emotional support, trauma support, or, you know, so it's not just me doing it. I very much want to work with a team, and that's very much what we did at Breast Cancer Haven. We had practitioners who were specialized in their particular areas. So, you know, and that's kind of really how I support people. And people can come here for a week, 2-3 weeks, a month. If they want to spend longer, they can come longer. They can come in the capacity, you know, doing the Hippocrates Health Program, help the transformation program, or, you know, they can come here just to rest and recuperate as a staycation, a client, and we do treatments as and when required. And, you know, they can either be, I've got actually two self-contained, I've got a one-bedroom self-contained apartment that they can come and that it's three people can stay in it, or I've got a studio room which is self-contained as well. It's self-catering if they want to do self-catering, and that's for two people. Or I've got a family bedroom in the house, or a twin bedroom. So I've got accommodation for lots of different scenarios. Mm. And, you know, people can be as private as they want to be, or they can be involved as they want to be.
Amazing. So it seems like it's very non-prescriptive what's on offer from you. It's more like, well, what, you know, you are almost asking them, well, what do you want? What do you need? Trying to supply the thing that hits the spot for them in terms of maybe just getting away from it all, or actually lots of hands-on learning and everything else.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, very much. But I think that, you know, the support is very primary, to feel that, you know, people feel that there's somebody holding their hand through the journey, who's got their back, who, you know, who's there for them.
Mm. Mm. Great. Well, you're obviously a great person to do that. Enormously experienced in this field, you know, from all the work you've described you've already done. So there you are. You've created this beautiful place, Cwmdi. Beautiful spot. You've done an amazing job. And I can testify how lovely it would be as a place to stay. So do you want to remind everybody again where to look for more further details if they're interested?
Absolutely. So the website is www.cwmdi-retreat.com, which is C-W-M-D-U. My email address is nadia.bryden@gmail.com, which is nadia.bryden@gmail.com. And it's, you know, people can call me and, you know, have a chat and see how I can help, or, you know, point them in a direction that they might benefit them or whatever. But I'm very much here as a support and hopefully information. And yeah, it'd be lovely to hear from anybody who I can help point in the right direction or answer any questions for them.
Lovely. And you mentioned this pop-up herbal event you had last year. Are you going to do this again?
Oh, yes. Well, interestingly enough, I had a meeting yesterday with somebody from the University of Wales, and we are next year is going to probably be in conjunction in some form or another with them. It will be in June. And so this year it was called Pop-Up Herbal 2022. So they run a conference every year on some herbal medicine, and it has the most amazing speakers such as Satish Kumar, you know, really amazing, top of the tree, inspirational people. So the idea being is that it will also be in conjunction, I think, with the Physicians of Mudvai Society and the College of Medicine. And in some way, I will be, you know, supporting in that process, hopefully. So it's early days, but it will be in June, hopefully. And there will be seminars and lectures, and it will be in Lampeter at the University of Wales, and also in Mudvai, which is where the physicians of the herbal physicians from many years ago, there's a society of physicians there, and it's kind of like a triangle. So there's a distance of about 45 minutes between me and Lampeter and Mudvai, and so there's a sort of triangle of us, and so hopefully the weather will be good to us again this year, next year.
Amazing. Well, it seems like you hit the ground running with that one, and it's exploded. So,
yeah.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I wish you every success. I assume that people can sign up for some sort of newsletter and hear about progress on things like this. Is that right?
Absolutely. I'm hoping as well to do some videos and short videos of people how to make a juice, how to make a smoothie, even how to open
resources.
A coconut. Yes.
Right. Okay. So those will be available on the website.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on, Nadia. And thanks for being so welcoming when I dropped in to see you. And I wish you every success with this great venture of yours.
Oh, Robin, do you know, thank you so much for inviting me. And it's been a real joy talking to you. And I absolutely admire everything that you are doing. You are incredible. And it's, you know, I think you are like the support system around which everybody is very much gaining so much information. And, you know, from my heart, thank you for everything that you're doing. Absolutely amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. All right. Many thanks, Nadia.
Okay. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
It's always so interesting talking to people with so much experience and knowledge to share. And you don't need me to tell you how passionate Nadia is about the role of nature in health and well-being. I'd like to take this opportunity of reminding you that the last 380 plus editions of the Yester Live Show are all available on Listen On Demand. Together, they form an immense resource that you can tap into to find out about particular topics or to hear practitioners' views on health and the role of a large range of supportive therapies in cancer. To make this easy, we've created a search facility on our website, and that's yestolife.org.uk. Just go to our homepage and scroll down until you see the link to the Yes to Life show. On the show page, you'll find the latest show at the top, and below that, you can search the past shows by subject, show guest, or keyword. I'd also like to mention that alongside the weekly Yes to Life show, I also publish a monthly podcast that I co-host with senior NHS oncologist Dr. Penny Kehioglu. It's called Cancer Talk. In it, we discuss the progress and the benefits of integrating lifestyle medicine into mainstream cancer care with a range of guests, both from within and outside the NHS. To find Cancer Talk, again, start from the homepage, yestolife.org.uk. Scroll down until you see the link to Cancer Talk. And once again, as well as the most recent episode, you'll find there are a range of options for searching through the past episodes. Thanks for joining me today. I shall be back again next week with another edition of the show, so I hope you'll join me again here on the Yes to Life show on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.